Today's episode of Robin's Podcast is sponsored by Tracker. They got smart cars, smartphones, smart homes. Technology is making everything smart, but losing stuff still makes smart people feel really stupid. I hate when I lose my keys, which seems to happen every single time that I need to get out of the house quickly. And then it's very frustrating and really ends up putting me into a complete panic. But with Tracker, that makes losing things a thing of the past, because Tracker is a coin-sized device that locates misplaced keys, wallets, bags, computers, anything in seconds. Just pair Tracker to your smartphone, attach it to anything, and find its precise location with the tap of a button. It's that easy. You don't even need the spy girls to come and help you find whatever you are missing, because if you've lost your phone, you could even press the button on Tracker and your phone will ring even when it's on silent mode. With over 1.5 million devices, Tracker has the largest crowd GPS network in the world, so your lost item shows up on a map even if it's miles away. You'll never lose anything again with Tracker. Listeners to this show get a special discount, 30% off your entire order. Go to the, spelled T-H-E, tracker.com and enter promo code RHAP. Go to thetracker.com right now. Enter promo code RHAP and get 30% off your whole order. That's thetracker.com with promo code RHAP. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a guy who has never once, ever been accused of being a secret nerd. I am Rob Cesarino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Big Brother 18 coverage here on our regularly scheduled time and place on Wednesday night after a kind of a weird episode of Big Brother 18, in my estimation, in that we focused a lot on the spy girls and what their opinion is on everything in the house, where, in my knowledge, they are not the position of power in the house. But we will talk about all that and much more with our great live feed correspondent. Here is Taryn Armstrong on a Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm so thankful to be on the Wednesday podcast. I'm thankful to everyone, including Frank, for everything that he's done for me. I just feel so blessed.
Thank you for that, actually.
Yeah, thank you for that, actually.
Oh, it even sounds creepy. Oh.
Yeah. All right. Taryn, very nice to have you back here with us after we had some special coverage last night with Vanessa Russo, with Tiffany on the block, and got a lot of good insight from Vanessa. I highly recommend that people go and check that podcast, especially if you were worried about seeing the veto competition first and didn't listen to that podcast. We did do spoilers right from the start last night. That's not going to be the case tonight. We will wait until after we get through this discussion of the episode. But again, not a million things to discuss from tonight's episode, and probably a lot of stuff to set up before Thursday night's eviction. And we're going to take your questions live, of course, hashtag RHAP, and then also on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Now, I mean, Taryn, am I crazy about that with the Spy Girls? I mean, wasn't this a weird episode that it was very Spy Girl centric?
It was. It felt like they really latched onto a particular storyline and they kind of ran with it. This whole thing about, and this is kind of their thing where they're justifying the roadkill twist, right? They're saying, oh, here's this situation where Frank is secretly pretending to be working with these girls, but also nominating them at the same time. And it's like, will they find out? Won't they find out? Now they have to keep a secret. And despite the fact that it wasn't particularly relevant to what was going on in the house, I did think they told the story pretty well.
Okay, good. I was actually very surprised that we didn't get to see much more about Tiffany. I mean, we've had almost no talk of this week's vote and this live eviction, which is only 24 hours from now.
Yeah, I imagine that'll be what next episode is all about. Everything that's gone down, discussing the vote, you know, who's going to go home of these three.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's get into, we got to start here with our lead story of everything that's going on with Frank and Bridget, as you referenced at the top of the show. You know, we made all the jokes coming into this week that, oh, this was going to be Frank's HOH. Well, it turns out it was also Frank's veto with Bridget. And, you know, it was hard to tell with not being on the live feeds as much whether or not boy, is it just sort of like joking around? Is Bridget playing Frank to some degree? Is she sort of just trying to stay out of the fray? I felt like that from what you saw tonight, I thought it probably looked worse than anything that we could have expected, not seeing those live feeds 24/7.
Yeah, and I have been somebody that has been saying, like, let's hold off on judgment for Bridget. Like, let's hold off just now because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. She had talked previously in previous weeks about how she didn't trust Frank very much. But it turns out that was just because he wasn't talking to her, and she probably just felt kind of jealous because she is 100% on Team Frank. She talks about it in her HOH blog. She's talked about it on the feeds to us. And we saw in this clip tonight, she is just like in love with him. It's ridiculous.
Because when Alex and I did the show this week, we talked about, well, what are some things that Tiffany could do to try to get out of a position where people were looking to send her home this week? And the thing that we talked about was, okay, what needs to happen is that Bridget needs to find out that Frank put her up on the block with the roadkill twist in week one. In our wildest dreams, we could not have ever thought her response would be,
thank you for that, actually.
Thank you for that, actually.
Yeah, it really feels like they've been setting this up in the diary room. They like getting her to say, like, when I find out who nominated me for roadkill, like, they're dead meat. Maybe right after that, she was saying, unless it was Frank, in which case, oh, thank him so much.
Taryn, is it possible that she said in the diary room, when I find out who nominated me for the roadkill, they're red meat. That's the delicious dinner I'd like to have with that person.
Yeah, the bloomin' onions.
Yeah. Yes. Again, what a delicious steak they served in the backyard last night.
This is a damn good steak. This thing is cooked to perfection, and I'm all about it because these biceps ain't gonna feed themselves. So your boy needs his meat.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm surprised you didn't talk about how much Cody needed his meat as well.
Yeah.
I remember this competition blowing up in my brother's face first round in his season.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. I don't mean to get distracted with talking about the album. So with Bridget and with Frank, I mean, this was really so disturbing, especially when you take a look at the sequence of events throughout this whole week. So Bridget ends up coming into power. She becomes the HOH. Her ideas get completely railroaded by the will of what Frank wants to do. All of her ideas for the week get shot down. She's totally fine with that. She's cool with it. Whatever you want to do, Frank. Then she wins the veto as well. And in the process of winning the veto, Frank goes to celebrate with her and then almost sprains her ankle, if not worse, to her. Like, he physically hurts her. Like, he subverts her game. He shoots down all her ideas. And then finally, he reveals to her, at first he reveals to us, and like, hey, she's getting closer to me, so I figure now it's the time to manipulate her even more. And then he reveals to her what he did, and she gives us...
Thank you for that, actually.
Thank you for that, actually.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of this one person in Big Brother 16. It started with a V. Veronica... Victoria. Yeah, a lot like Victoria.
Yeah. No, it's so bizarre, this whole thing. Now, Taryn, that you're, you know, watching this as it unfolds in the real time. I mean, in Bridget's mind, is this a romantic relationship or is this just that she trusts her life in the game implicitly with Frank?
I think she absolutely trusts her life implicitly with Frank. As I mentioned, she talked in her HOH blog about, you know, Frank is just so unbelievably good at this game. Everybody trusts him. He has control over everything. I want to go to the final two with him. But it feels like there has to be something else there. I mean, she does have a boyfriend. And I think when she came into the house, she talked about like, I'm not allowed to sleep with any guys in a bed together. And, yeah.
Hold on. Let me check this out. Hold on. Okay. Just double checking.
Yeah, for the listeners and the video podcast, Rob has the screenshot of Bridget cuddling with Frank in the background. So that has certainly changed.
Right. And just to give some context to that, so from the live feeds, this conversation takes place after the Outback dinner, where there were copious amounts of beer served. Some big, bloke-sized beers that were served for all, to celebrate the mateship of everybody at the Outback.
The mateship, yeah. I was like, did you know who this Australian guy was?
Is he a guy? I felt like that for me. I thought it was like on Big Brother Canada when the guy who owned the furniture store came in.
Mike Bell. That's what I was saying. I was like, who's this Australian? Like, we need Mike Bell in here. He's way more famous.
As far as I'm concerned, I don't believe there is like some sort of spokesperson for the Outback. I don't know who that guy was.
Just random Australian guy.
Make
the connection.
Really, that I think it's worth a podcast at this point to the greatest product placement in Outback restaurant history on CBS reality between who could forget Sandra Diaz-Twine in Heroes versus Villains. Of course, when Spencer and company went to go have pineapple Ritas in Survivor Cagayan. Is this the first time on Big Brother or have we done this before?
I mean, there have been.
I feel like we've done it before on Big Brother, too.
There's been like McDonald's and stuff like that. I don't remember Outback in particular, but they have done this sort of thing before. And I'm also being told in the chat that very much like Mike Bell, this is just a dude that's in Outback commercials. So.
Yeah. Adrian Richardson, got more airtime than many of the Big Brother 18 players.
Yes, including Glenn.
Include Glenn for the season.
Yeah.
I hope that Glenn, wherever he is being fed hearty portions of the Outback. I hope that hopefully that's just where he's hauled up in like an Outback somewhere.
Yeah.
In fact, that I believe the twist is going to be called the Out Battle Back. What do you prefer, Battle Outback?
Battle Outback, I think we're just a little bit better.
All right, Glenn and Jose, round one. Okay, in front of you each is a blooming onion. The first person to consume the entire blooming onion will move on to round two.
And Polly would be so good at that competition.
Yeah.
This is a damn good steak. This thing is cooked to perfection.
Hey, look. Those biceps are not going to feed themselves. Contrary to what you may have heard, a bicep does not feed itself.
My biceps feed themselves, but I didn't realize Polly's, they needed the steak.
Yeah, it was a damn good steak.
So much so that Polly, or not Polly, Paul needed, he needed to take out the rest of the leftovers.
Yes. What did he do?
He was just like, can I get like a takeout box for this?
Yeah. All right. Well, then, since the story of the night was what's going on with the Spy Girls, let's continue this. And really, we got to see a lot of the James and Natalie relationship. And I think that you called this, Taryn, during the happy hour this week, where you pointed out that James and Natalie were 1 and 2, respectively, on the Joker's update popularity poll. And I really do think that we are going to see more and more of this on the show this summer.
Yeah, very much so. This is like I mentioned on the Happy Hour. This is their showmance. This is their Jeff and Jordan. They are going to push this hard because they are kind of adorable, especially if you're only watching the show and you're getting this cute kind of edit. I think again, if they get far in the game, this is going to be a staple Big Brother couple.
Yes. And so Natalie, who's both fiery and spicy, she was on the phone with James. And again, it's such a absurd thing to be seeing on Big Brother, where we had almost like this phone conversation between two teenagers calling each other like after school. You imagine them sort of like both of them on their twin beds with like textbooks in front of them. Sort of. And then it was like literally Frank coming in like, James, dinner, come on, get off the phone.
And they're even like gossiping and telling each other secrets and, oh, don't tell your best friends.
Yeah. So crazy. And so James ends up revealing to Natalie about how that, okay, it wasn't this person. It wasn't this person. And ultimately he never says it was Frank's name that nominated Bronte, but does reveal to her that it was Frank who put Bronte up on the block in the roadkill. And all, I guess the point of what he was saying was that it was important for Natalie to try and win the veto, because then she could then make sure that that if Bronte comes off, then she wouldn't end up going up on the block. Taryn, was this a good idea to give Natalie this much information?
Not in particular. I mean, like, it's good. It's good for him to give her the information in the sense that it's building more trust with her. I know that a large part of why he did it was to test if Natalie was trustworthy, if she was going to give out that information. And so that's another aspect of it. But ultimately, yeah, she didn't really hold it in very well. You know, she made it very obvious that she knew something, and that kind of comes back on James. And this has been kind of putting a target on his back in a way that wasn't quite necessary.
You know, and it's weird because on the podcast all season long, especially over the last week, week and a half, we've all been talking about sort of the rise and fall of the eight pack and how there are all these cracks and fractures that are forming in that group, the eight pack plus Pauly. But yeah, eight plaque. That's a Freudian slip. Yeah. We need Johnny Mac to come in for the eight plaque. So we've been talking about that group and how they're splintering. But I'm wondering, are we starting to see the cracks forming in the Spy Girls? Because they look like they were all on the same page. But we had conversations tonight of where you had Natalie saying, OK, I trust James, but I don't trust Frank. And Bronte is with Bridget saying, like, hey, well, you know, how you feel about James is how I feel about Frank. And I don't trust James because he's only looking out for you. And I wonder, will it be boys that pull the spy girls apart?
It could be. To be fair, though, it was the Spy Girls were really always Bronte and Natalie, and then the third was kind of Bridget, and that is kind of what it remains. So the cracks were kind of already there, but this is certainly pulling them even further apart, this whole Frank and James thing.
Okay. Now, for the rest of the people in the house, in terms of what they want to do, you know, we've talked a lot about everything going on with, you know, all the positioning going on. And again, we'll talk about that more on the live feed. Taryn, is this just a case of where in the time up until the veto ceremony happened, which I guess is what, Sunday or Monday?
Yeah.
Was this faithful to the amount of politicking that was going on in the house? Or was there a lot of stuff that you feel like that we didn't see that might be part of this Thursday night package?
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot going on until post veto ceremony. So there will be a lot to talk about in the spoiler section, but this was really a lot of what was going on. It was a lot of a little bit of jockeying and a lot of talking about, like, can we trust Frank? Like, the Spy Girls kind of figuring some stuff out. There really wasn't a whole lot, so I don't necessarily blame them for sticking to this story.
Yeah, and even in terms of Bridget and what she wants to do, it really seems like that she seems pretty clueless in all of it, where we've heard where Frank wants to go after some bigger targets in the house. And we saw that Bridget ends up saying, oh, I picked Davon's team because it was Zakiya's birthday. And also, you know, Frank and Davon really haven't been seeing eye to eye. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, she could come to the dinner and that they could sort of like be friends. Like, she's not like on the same page strategically as Frank in any way. Like, that's not what Frank would want to do.
Yeah, it really is like Frank doesn't tell her. I mean, obviously, he doesn't tell her everything. You know, he just did tell her about the roadkill stuff. But that was really to cover his own butt here, because a lot of people were planning on telling Bridget as a way to turn her against Frank. And so, I mean, he really got out ahead of this one. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, she's really just trusting in her messiah, Frank, and doing whatever he wants, and she's not even a part of his planning.
So do you feel like that was a particularly savvy move on Frank's part to tell Bridget at this particular point in time?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, given how obsessed Bridget seems with Frank, I don't know if it would have worked had somebody else told her first, but definitely a good move to get out ahead of this, because a lot of people were trying to, not that he did it for because he realized that people were going to do it anytime soon. But it was fortunate timing for him, because it was in the works for sure.
Okay. I have a bunch of other things with this I want to ask you about, but I'll wait until the live feeds to not spoil anything in particular. I thought it was funny that with the Outback Challenge or the Outback Reward, where everybody was really pumped up to go out there, we did spend a lot of time. Outback really got their money's worth for whatever they paid for this product placement here. Although I did feel like that maybe the message might not want to be that there are lots of explosions going on in the kitchen when they are sort of like trying out a new recipe. Like maybe like, oh, let's try it. Well, let's see. What's this? Like, oh, no.
Well, at least they weren't in the bathroom, the explosions.
Yes. That's good to know. But then, everybody was so excited to go have the Outback. You had Dave Vaughn talking about, boy, I'm so excited for Outback that I can even go that Frank is there. That really that she can put up with the abuse from Frank because Outback is so good.
Yeah, that's definitely a message. Outback, it can overcome sexual harassment.
Yes, that the Outback Steakhouse is so good. I am willing to be treated in a very unprofessional manner to go and enjoy a dinner there. Anything else from the episode before we jump into some questions?
I do want to point out that I did, again, despite the fact that the story wasn't quite the most intriguing one, I thought the editing was pretty good this episode, between Polly getting cut off in the diary room and the explosion competition, the whole phone call scene was interesting, and the way that they built up Bronte's like secret reveal,
yeah that was funny.
Just to fall flat. I'm a secret nerd. I thought that was all great.
Yeah, but it was funny, that secret nerd conversation where they treated it in the edit like how we reacted at home. But in the room, it like went over really well, where, yeah. Usually we end up seeing where we get like a diary room of like, okay, well, I want to just tell you guys, I'm a secret mathematician and I'm going to work for the NSA and solve, terror crimes with prime numbers. And, we get like somebody in the diary room like, what is this girl talking about? Like, you're going to do what?
This isn't any Calafiore charm.
Yeah. My brother, he said that if you were a nerd, I shouldn't even work with you. So why are you telling me your secret right now? Yeah, but they were like, oh, wow, we have a really smart person in the Spy Girls. Like, this is really cool.
Yeah, I kind of brought it up on the in the panel at RapCon. This was an emotional moment for them. And then after this happened, Natalie revealed her secret about being an NFL cheerleader or NBA, whatever it is. And like I said, Bridget was like, oh yeah, yeah. And my boyfriend is a doctor. That's my secret.
Oh, Frank's a doctor?
Who knew?
Yeah. Who knew? Who knew indeed? Wow. That's pretty impressive. But sometimes you guys say stuff about in the live feeds where, oh, somebody said that. And I think that you're joking, where it's like, you guys are like, sort of like, being, it's a euphemism or you're exaggerating something. And then it always blows my mind when like I see exactly what you guys said happen. And like, oh, that wasn't even like just a figure of speech. They really said that?
The jokes write themselves, Rob.
Yeah.
They make it easy.
Yes, so many good jokes from the Big Brother cast members. All right, let's get into some of these questions, and then we'll talk live feeds. Okay, Frickafer says, lots of Spy Girls tonight. Does this alliance hold more of a threat than we initially thought? Taryn, do you feel like that the presence of the Spy Girls in the episode speaks to that they are probably more important than we have given them credit for so far?
I do. I think that, I don't think that, the editors necessarily are trying to broadcast that, but I do think that they have, they're going to have an increased presence in the game because so many people are gunning for each other outside of the Spy Girls. They are being underestimated to an extreme at this point. There's still some targets on them, but they're very much down the road kind of targets. Like, first we need to get out Frank. Then Bridget can go after, but really, are they going to go after Bridget after Frank leaves? She's going to be so alone and useless. I doubt they'll go through with it. And then Frank's side is talking about targeting people who aren't Spy Girls. Like, nobody's going after them anymore. And I see them lasting at least until the battle back. And then if the twist ends they're no longer in this disadvantaged position with the roadkill stuff, and anything could happen.
Yeah, it's kind of fun that you have basically these three people that are all like literal pawns in this game, that they're each, you know, sort of like being moved by a couple different people, where, you know, James is sort of pointing Natalie which way to go, and obviously Frank and Bridget. And then I guess to a lesser degree, Bronte doesn't have as much of a, people pointing her in the right direction, Paul potentially. But it's interesting that, you know, it's it seems like that maybe this group could be working together in some capacity for a while. And it's sort of fun to get this perspective of the people who are not really calling the shots in the house, but are sort of just like along for the ride at this point, but maybe might have a bigger role to play down the road. Like it doesn't seem like that they're going to be the next target here.
Yeah, they formed this bond together. And that is an underrated thing in this game. And they're just biding their time until that bond becomes more and more powerful. And if people sleep on it, then they're gonna regret it.
Okay. Yeah. There's an episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation like this, where they tell the story from the perspective of a bunch of ensigns. So that's my secret nerd confession of the night.
You're a secret nerd? Oh my God, I'm so excited. We have someone smart on the podcast.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. All right. Dawn S. says, it seems like the only one who really benefits from Tiffany leaving is Frank. If the house is against him, then why are they hesitant to flip the vote and get rid of Paul? Yeah.
This is a very good question. Really, it has to do with a couple of things. One is just kind of momentum. There was a lot of bad talk about Tiffany last week because of her behavior in the house. She was a little emotional. And the thing that amplifies that is her connection to Vanessa. And so those things combined have just kind of pushed this momentum forward this week, where it was just like, well, if Tiffany's on the block, then we might as well just get rid of her. But that said, it doesn't really benefit many people for Tiffany to leave. It benefits the Spy Girls. It benefits Frank. And almost nobody else, at least in the beginning of the week. Once they've started moving forward with that plan to get Tiffany out, it starts to become a thing where they can't really change their minds, because then Tiffany's already going to know that they were trying to push mm-hmm. her out. Okay. So, yeah.
Well, more on that to come when we talk the feeds and talk about the latest developments. Ram 01099, I may be wrong, but did Frankie Grande get more airtime tonight than Michelle? Paul was shining bright like a Frankie. Michelle, you did see her. You did not hear from her. She was at the Outback dinner.
And she made a mistake when talking about the veto, saying that if Natalie took Bronte off, then Natalie would go up. And I think that was about the extent of her contribution to the episode.
Yeah, I was hoping you were going to get to see her rap. That I did watch that YouTube video of her dancing after the Outback challenge.
Yeah, I figured we'd get some of that drunkenness, but I guess it wouldn't have reflected great on Outback.
I don't know. That's the problem there, where it's like, boy, people get pretty drunk going to Outback. Like, boy, I guess they're really these contestants really got overserved eating at the Outback. I guess maybe it was irresponsible to give them those big bloke beers after being on slop all week.
You know, Outback, they're party central. Everyone knows you go to Outback, you're not coming home anytime soon.
Yeah. Is that what happened to Glenn? He's still at Outback? Okay. Let's do a couple more questions and then talk live feeds. I drum, you strum. Did Bronte fail the math roadkill because she only uses prime numbers? Taryn, I know that you are a big fan of math and science and are not shy about telling that to us. So what is she talking about? What is she going to do with prime numbers?
I have no idea how she's going to fight terrorism with prime numbers.
Like seven.
I mean, she wants to work for the NSA. So like maybe prime numbers can help like hack into people's phones or something. Like I don't know. But yeah, it was very strange when she talked about like, I trust in my numbers and that's why I'm going to win this power of veto. Like, do numbers factor into everything she does? Because clearly they didn't work for her in this one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, look for Bronte to maybe be featured in Mr. Robot season 2.
Yeah, there you go.
Mrs. Robot. Okay. Sally Berger says, did Natalie make a good decision by not telling the girls about Frank being the roadkill winner?
I think what she did was bad, right? She didn't tell them, but also did tell them at the same time, basically. She told them that she made it very obvious that she knew something, but didn't tell them that she knew something, which made it obvious that James had told her something, and they went out and started investigating. So, I like the thought behind it, but if you're not going to say anything, just keep completely quiet. Don't let on that you know anything at all.
Yeah, that was not a great look when she ended up saying about how, I know for a fact I'm going to go up on the block if you come down. And they're like, well, who won the roadkill? Like, that I don't know. That I don't know. I just know that I've been told that I'm definitely going to go up. And then that led to that really funny scene with James and Bronte, where Bronte was changing her top in front of James, and he was just like completely like homina, 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 and he could not even get a sentence out, James.
This is the worst time to be talking to James. Even if he wanted to tell you who the roadkill winner was, he wouldn't have been able to think of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. So for James, for Bronte, was that intentional? Did you feel like did she say like, okay, I'm going to, in true spy girl's fashion, that I am going to get the information out of James. I know his weakness, and that I am going to be able to distract him and hypnotize him and be able to tell him to give me the information?
I mean, we can never know for sure. If I had to guess, I would say probably not. It's not really Bronte's style, and I don't think she would do that to Natalie. It's definitely a poorly timed changing session. Any fan of the show should know, if you don't want to have your changing session be aired on national television, don't talk game while you're doing it.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah. James, that's a BB17 quote. All right, let's get into talking about the spoilers, because we got a lot of stuff to talk through, and then we'll take more questions. So if you're going to be leaving us, we will be back on Thursday. That is going to be live at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time after the eviction. Hopefully we'll have a new HOH to discuss and much, much more on our next edition of the BB on the BB podcast. But until then, let's talk spoilers here. Here we go.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
That's for you, Bridget and Frank. Stop it. Knock it off. Yeah. All right, Bridget, are you ready? I'm gonna give you spoilers now.
Thank you for that, actually.
Oh, you're welcome. All right. All right, Taryn, let's talk about what's going on with spoilers. And all right, so 24 hours ago, we were talking with Vanessa, and we said, okay, things are moving, things are happening, the wheels are in motion, and really, by the end of the podcast, we really put the hex on Tiffany, right?
Yeah. There's kind of a lot of moving wheels here. Certainly last night was one of the more eventful nights of the entire season so far. One of the things happening is that separately, Nicole and Devon are kind of starting to think maybe we want to keep Tiffany, because they had decided that they wanted Tiffany to go all week up until this point. But Tiffany, to her credit, has been doing a really good job of laying really low. And really, the best kind of campaigning is the kind of campaigning you do when you don't realize that you're going to go home, because you get to play the naive, I'm completely loyal to you, I'm going to do whatever you want card.
We saw it happen in Big Brother 16 when Zach Rantz got saved and didn't even know he was going home.
Absolutely. And we saw it with Austin as well last season. It's very effective, and it was working on Devon and on Nicole to some extent. And so they were both separately coming to this conclusion that maybe we want to keep Tiffany. Nicole, at the same time, is starting to think, I might want to work with Frank, too, because Frank is such a pariah, because he's not coming after me, maybe I can use him as a shield, as a blunt instrument, ride him all the way down to the end, Janelle style, and hope that is going to be a successful strategy for her. So that's kind of in the back of Nicole's mind as this is happening. Day gets together with Michelle, they both start to say, we want to keep Tiffany. Then they get Zakiya, they get James, they're both now on board. And now they talk to Nicole, And Nicole is on board as well. She's like, oh, I can't believe you thought of this too. Like, we're both thinking about keeping Tiffany. And at this point, they have the votes.
It was about Tiffany, like 6 p.m. Big Brother time last night, right?
Yeah, this is right about
when we're going to talk to Vanessa.
Yes, exactly. At this point, they have the votes and they're saying, you know, the biggest opposition is going to be Polly because Polly has been the one pushing to get Tiffany out the most throughout the week. And but they're saying it doesn't matter what the boys say. We're sticking with this decision. So at this point, it looks like the votes have flipped. Tiffany is safe. However, Zakiya goes to talk to Polly and Polly channels his inner Derek and just shuts all the fun down. Just says, hold on. Let's not get crazy here. Let's follow the script, follow the plan. And Zakiya falls in line with that. Then they all get together in the backyard and they talk about it. And pretty much everyone is like, we want to keep Tiffany. But Polly pushes very hard to make sure that Tiffany is gone and eventually flips everyone back in that backyard to his way of thinking. And Nicole, so much so that Nicole is now saying, oh, man, I can't believe Devon convinced me. She's so untrustworthy. She just wanted me to piss off Frank so that Frank would go after me instead of her. Now I'm going after Devon next week.
Why is Polly so against Tiffany? Is it because as Vanessa theorized about how that Tiffany didn't tell him about the 8-pack when he wasn't in the 8-pack?
I think that is a small part of it. Honestly, I think this is a strange case where if Tiffany goes home, and she probably will, it's like 95% because she's Vanessa's sister. Everything that Polly said to say we need to get Tiffany out was she's Vanessa's sister. He had no other reasoning than since she's Vanessa's sister, she's gonna find us out later.
But
she's a
long-term
threat.
Cody's brother.
Yeah, exactly.
My brother Cody.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I still think that Polly is in a pretty good position and he's playing a pretty good game, but this is a pretty big mistake, I think. I think that he had Tiffany in a good spot. Last week, Tiffany trusted him. He could have used her. He flipped out on her because she was, you know, he didn't flip out on her, but he turned on her because she was being so erratic, supposedly. But again, I think this is mostly because of the Vanessa bias. And it got to the point where at this week, he's so against her that he's willing to expend all of the social capital to make sure he's gone. And by this point in the week, when the vote starts flipping, he really does have to continue along this line because he's been pushing her so hard that that she's realized that she's not close to him anymore. And if she does stay, it'll be very obvious that he had been trying to get her out and only capitulated when everyone said, no, we're not going to do this. And that would be a bad spot for him. So it was kind of a damned if he does, damned if he doesn't situation. Luckily for him, he got out of it kind of clean, but he did have to push really hard. And that's not going to look good for him moving forward.
I can smell a Dirk from a mile away.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so Taryn, then let's outline. Okay, so it's almost 7 o'clock Big Brother time right now as we get ready for the last night, the last stand for Tiffany. Has there been any talk today about what that plan looks like?
Devon still wants to keep Tiffany, and she is going to probably give her a vote regardless of where everyone else falls. Michelle might do the same. However, Devon does understand that we no longer have the votes, and it's looking like Tiffany is for sure gone at this point. Something drastic would have to change. Tiffany would have to realize that she's going home and really just cause a blow up or something. Something she has to throw a Hail Mary now.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it's such a shame to have Tiffany go out at this spot because I just really feel like that there's this untapped potential. And I think she's actually a pretty good battle back candidate to come back. If she goes out in this spot on tomorrow night, she really would have to just beat. She'd have to win 2 battle back matches if it does go in this tournament form. And I definitely could see a scenario where there's something that, you know, it ends up being something that's not just where it's a physical thing or I brought up if it was going to be endurance, but I don't think there's going to be enough time for it to be endurance competitions. So I feel like you could see a scenario where she's the battle back returnee.
I hope so. I think that of anybody that was evicted or will be evicted of this first 5, she will probably deserve to come back the most just because the way that she's going out, again, it's it's really mostly because of her sister. And I think that she, if she had come into this game without that connection, without that attachment, she would not be going out in this spot. And so I think if anyone deserves a second chance in this game, which I don't think most people do, it would be her in this scenario.
Yeah. And of the four players that are going to be in this battle back for now, far and away, the most upside and the most capable player, and it's not even close.
Oh, yeah. I mean, barring the Messiah, of course.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Trust me, I'm going to have no problems with getting everyone on board and getting Pauly out of the house this week.
Yeah. Trust me. So, yeah, I do hope that Tiffany is able to work her way out of it, just because I feel like that we didn't get to see her do anything. Even this week, that this is her week where she's on the block and she really doesn't even know it. And she's got almost no airtime these last couple episodes.
Yeah, I will say, though, again, even though what she's doing isn't flashy, she is doing a very solid
job. Oh, I get
it.
Yeah. That I think it makes a lot of sense where, you know, we touched on this a little bit where it's like, she's panicky. Like when she got nominated with the roadkill, the way that she reacted to that, I think it definitely did put people on edge. But this week, I mean, you can't say that she's been like, oh, she's running around the house like a chicken without a head and she's being so emotional, because she definitely has not. So it's almost like that she's done a really good job of dispelling that myth this week. But unfortunately, that there's just too many factors working against her.
Yeah, exactly. She's really done the best that she can this week, I think. They're the best anyone could ask of any player, decent player. She's done very well, but again, the sister thing just really hurts her.
Okay, so let's assume the worst for Tiffany right now, where she's going to be the person who's voted out. Do we have an idea on the vote count yet? Do we imagine that the votes are going to just all get together in the right direction and it'll be a unanimous decision against Tiffany?
It should be everyone except for potentially Devon and even maybe Michelle. Giving her some sympathy votes.
Okay, that's interesting that Devon would give her a sympathy vote. I mean, is Frank going to be cool with that?
She doesn't really care.
But how could that be?
Really,
because I thought
Frank.
That this whole week was okay. Let's give Frank what he wants, so we don't arouse any suspicion from him.
Devon is not somebody who cares about that. She's somebody who is like, hey, I'm fine with keeping Tiffany and alerting Frank to this. Let's declare war. And kind of rightfully so, because she is the person that Frank is going to be coming after next anyway. So she has nothing to lose if she declares war. But I mean, still, this sympathy vote, it may ultimately be a benefit to her, unintentionally, if Tiffany does come back into the game. But definitely not, you know, the most strategically sound move ever.
Okay, so then let's start to pivot from that. Okay, assuming Tiffany goes out, I know there's been a lot of talk in the house about what is going to come next. You touched on that Nicole was really talked off of the ledge of voting to keep Tiffany by Pauly. If she ends up having a lot of conversation with Frank overnight, can you get into a little bit of what's going on between Nicole and Frank at this point?
Yes, so this really, like I said, with the whole Tiffany thing, it really pushed Nicole over the edge, and she made the decision, I'm gonna go to Frank and I'm gonna try and make an alliance with him. And so she talked to him, and they kind of formed a foursome with Frank and Bridget and Nicole and Corey. And this really would be a pretty dangerous group of people, depending on how the comps break out. However, this is very, very risky for Nicole to be doing at this moment. Especially because Frank is so erratic, and that immediately blew back on her. So she told Frank, like, I'm on board to get Devon out next week. I don't trust her. Let's form this four thing. And Frank immediately, and she even said specifically, don't tell Michelle about this. Frank immediately goes and talks to Michelle, and Michelle pretends to be on board with taking Devon out. So Frank is like, oh, good. So Nicole and Corey are also on board. And Michelle immediately ran back to Devon and said, hey, Frank is saying Nicole and Corey are on board to take you out next week. And Nicole walked in. They had a conversation where Nicole was trying to deny everything. Like, oh, I was lying to Frank, but played it off very poorly. Devon
saw. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, Devon saw right through it. So now she is extra skeptical of Nicole at this point. And lots of pieces are just dropping to the floor and scattering, and nobody is good enough to pick them up right now.
So is the fatal five or four done now?
It probably is, you know.
And how does that split?
It will probably split because we've kind of got Polly and Zakiya as sort of these middle people who, you know, Polly and Zakiya, they're still against Frank, but they're not totally with Devon because they are still close to Nicole and Corey. They have that showmance alliance that Devon is kind of technically a part of. So
I'm worried about Devon here because it feels like that other than Michelle, who does she have?
That's the thing. And that's why it's so vital for her to keep Tiffany.
And the problem
really
is with having
else.
Michelle, they say that, then her connection to the Spy Girls, who is like the only other faction in the house that we're not talking about, is that you have the whole Michelle and Bridget thing. So that's not going to be a coalition that she's going to be able to put together.
Well, Michelle, she has mended fences with Bridget.
Thank you for that, actually.
Yeah.
they've gotten a bit closer. They've sort of, Michelle has kind of forgiven Bridget for those comments. She's like, oh, they're probably, you know, they were probably exaggerated. And Michelle, again, to Michelle's credit, she is playing Frank and Bridget and that side pretty well. And then running back to Devon and divulging everything that she gets from them. It's kind of Devon and Michelle on one side with James kind of, James is pretty loyal to Devon, but he's also loyal to Natalie, and he's also loyal to, you know, people like Nicole and Polly. And so James is still kind of everywhere. And then again, we have Polly and Zakiya sort of in the middle. And then we now have Nicole and Corey trying to also ride the middle, but still like give Frank some support. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of sides here and a lot of different ways this could break out. And everyone's talking about who should we give HOH to?
Yeah. I mean, this is such a pivotal HOH week going into Thursday night. So who's talking about throwing it? So maybe we can sort of figure out who's in play by which groups are throwing the HOH this week.
Oh man, this is some difficult stuff to keep track of because not only are they going back and forth about whether they want to throw it or not, they're also telling different people different things about whether they're throwing it or not, because lots of people are trying to get Frank to throw it. Frank is trying to get other people to throw it. He wants Michelle to win HOH. But Michelle, if she doesn't want to win HOH, because then she can't nominate Frank. So she's probably going to be throwing it. We have people like Paul. Frank has told Paul to throw it, and Paul has told Frank that he's going to throw it. But he's told other people, like, of course I'm not going to throw it. I want to get Frank out. So really, I think most people are going to be gunning for this HOH, except for potentially Michelle. And Polly may also not be super interested in getting this HOH.
Okay. Really interesting week. We think has to be coming up, right?
We got to hope so, right?
I mean, no matter who wins HOH, you got to think that this is going to be like the real standoff going on this week. I mean, can you come up with a person that it would be a boring HOH week?
I don't think so. I'm sure there are some possibilities, like if one of the Spy Girls won or something, where they just kind of make their own move and everyone else kind of bands together, not bands together, but like just kind of says, okay, we'll let them do what they want. But I think for the most part, we're looking at fireworks.
Yeah. I think that probably maybe the Corey and Polly, I feel like that they're probably not going to be the person to make the big move. I think that they might want a big move to happen, but I don't think that they want it to happen on their watch. What do you think of that?
Definitely. I mean, I think you're totally right there. I don't think Polly wants to make the move. He wants Frank gone, but I don't think he wants to be the one to do it.
Because it could blow up in his face.
I remember this competition blowing up in my brother's face first round in his season. So I need to make sure I'm extra focused so that another Califuri don't...
certainly Nicole and Corey aren't interested in making the move on Frank. So I think they're both content to kind of sit back and wait to see which side gets power.
Okay. Darren, when did this season turn into Big Brother 9? Because let me just take a look at the board right now. You have all of these pairs, which, are, in some degree, if not a showmance, at least a flirtmance or at least a friendmance between, you have James and Natalie, you have Nicole and Corey, you have Paulie and Devon. You have Bridget and Frank. Who else am I missing? I feel like there's another one.
Paul and Bronte.
I mean, that's 10 people in this cast right now.
Yeah, very much so. Who knew? It seemed like they might have been going for Big Brother 15 with the roadkill twist being very similar to the MVP, but looks like they're getting a little taste of Big Brother 9 as well. Everyone's two favorite seasons.
Yeah. Hey, we've got all of these partnerships that are going on between these couples. And, they weren't all romantic in Big Brother 9. So, it's really sort of a very weird thing. And I feel like that the best is yet to come. Like, usually in a Big Brother season, we have a really chaotic first couple of weeks. And I just feel like that we sort of like kicked the can down the road a little bit on that. And I feel like that there's definitely going to be some fireworks happening in these next couple of weeks. And don't forget the battle back next Friday night as well. All right, let's get to some more questions. Lizzie Sadzi says, are you surprised by the lack of edit by Michelle / Big Meesh on the edit since she's very prominent on the feeds?
Yeah, I mean, like we said, this was a segment that was very attached to Outback. And so I don't know if they wanted to kind of move that.
Well, could you set up that? Do you feel like that they were asking why hasn't Michelle been shown on the episode? Or do you feel like that why wasn't that Big Meesh segment shown on the episode?
Well, I think if it's about the Big Meesh segment, I think they just weren't interested in showing the drunkenness. If it's about Michelle in general, I think it's mostly just that Michelle hasn't been a huge presence as far as the strategy goes prior to the veto ceremony. I think that she will probably be a part of the next episode where we talk about keeping Tiffany and then everything that goes on with Nicole and Frank and then her running back to Devon. I think that she'll be a big part of the next one.
Okay. Let's take a few more questions. This is from Azriel, was out in Chicago. Who should Frank be targeting if he's going to take a shot at Day's side? Is she the smartest person to go after, or is it Big Meesh? Big Meesh is really catching on. All right. Yeah. Who should Frank be going after?
It's very difficult to know because he's still so far behind on information about who's positioned where. Go ahead.
I feel like that Frank is coming out of this week, I think, in a good place. I think that maybe Frank's stock might have like touched the bottom. And then I kind of feel like he's back up on the rise, because if the worm has turned against Devon and Devon goes out this week, I feel like that Frank has taken out his most vocal critic in the house. And I think that he might be set up now for a little bit, Frank.
It's definitely true. He did reach his peak at the bottom. His valley, and he is sort of on the way back up, but he's not out of the woods yet. Most people in the house are still targeting him, and even if Devon goes, he still has to contend with Paulie, who is a very anti-Frank voice at the moment. So I think Frank needs at least two, maybe three competitions here to get out people like Devon, Paulie, and maybe one other person.
Why is Paulie so anti-Frank?
Sort of the same reason he's not the same reason, but similarly to how he's anti-Tiffany, he feels like Frank is a big threat. He knows that Frank has been throwing his name out there, and he sees Frank as one of his biggest competitors to having this kind of Derek level control that he wants,
or Cody level control.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Then EJ Doherty wants to know, would it make sense for Frank, James, and the Spy Girls to start their own couples alliance? Okay. So Frank and Bridget, James and Natalie, and I guess Bronte and Paul, couples alliance?
Yeah, except like everyone in that alliance would want Frank gone except for Bridget.
I mean, it's really complicated, this scenario where You know, we've had like all these different seasons of the show, and a lot of times we have like sort of, okay, we have two sides that happens, and it's sort of like, okay, people, you're on that side and you're on that side. But this is such a weird season in terms of just how complicated this all is.
Yeah, the information is just all over the place. Different people are at different levels of information, and then there are different relationships that people have, different groupings. It is definitely very complicated, sort of like Big Brother 17 was in the very, very beginning when things were going crazy. Vanessa kind of locked stuff down pretty quickly, but this is just getting more and more unraveled as we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Big Brother 17 sort of settled in where you had the alliance of six with Vanessa and Austin and Clelly and the twins. But yeah, this is complicated, and it's not like, you know, that eight pack is pretty much dissolved, but very fun. Brent Showerman says, what's up with the wooden spoon that the spy girls are seen holding? Is that some sort of secret spy gadget? Taryn, any thoughts on this?
Maybe it's a listening device. Maybe it's how she hacks into the phones and she gets all this juicy info from James.
Okay. Let's do one or two more. Brittany Trotter says, has Tiffany even tried to actually campaign or have a real conversation with Frank? At this point, what does she have to lose? I think the problem is that she doesn't know that she's going home. She thinks she's a pawn.
Yeah. She is campaigning, and she is asking around, like, do I have something to be worried about? Should I be campaigning? And she is campaigning. She hasn't really gone to Frank to campaign because it's a pretty fruitless endeavor at the moment. The only time she should really be going to Frank is when there's no other options left. And even at this point, there's nothing that Frank can really do because he doesn't control any votes. The spy girls aren't going to vote, for Tiffany over Paul or Bronte. So, there's really no point to going to Frank.
Okay. And let's do one last question with Taryn, from Nate Hall. Says, assuming that Bronte can survive the next 24 hours without another flip, how well do you think that she can manage for the next few weeks? Has she integrated herself enough to survive? Taryn, we talked about early on this season that you were the conductor of the Bronte train. Choo-choo. That train is back on track?
Yeah. You know, it hit Becky, but it managed to survive the impact, and it's still going. And now it's picking up speed again. Bronte surviving this week is very, very good because this is like the most dangerous she's been in yet. And she's now sort of moving past that hump. And now her Spy Girl Alliance members are becoming bigger targets than her because Bridget is so connected to Frank and, Natalie is so connected to James. Bridget is seen as the least threatening one of the group, which is the opposite of how she was seen in the first couple of weeks. So moving forward, she's going to be in a good position, and she is, with Paul, one of these people that is picking up on the game pretty quickly and really starting to figure out what she needs to be doing moving forward. And so I definitely see her as somebody who is very similar to Paul. They're both really, their stock is just continuing to rise and rise. And something that that I should mention about Paul, if you remember last week, he voted for Bronte. And he was the only one. And I think a lot of people assumed like, oh, it was just a sympathy vote. He's pulling the Dan Giesling where, you know, he's going to say, I was just loyal to Victor. But then it turned out that he lied about it. He said, I didn't vote that. He denied the vote. So he was trying to do a hinky vote, and it succeeded. Nobody thinks Paul did it anymore. They have all gone on to other theories. This is something that's pretty tricky to do. Not a lot of people get away with hinky votes. And Paul, like Steve before him, has gotten away with this one. And a lot of people think it's his, like Frank or Polly or somebody else. And a lot of people think it's Frank.
Yeah, good on Paul. We haven't really talked about him tonight, but very, very much enjoying the Paul of it all here in Big Brother 18. So he's been very fun to watch. Taryn, the one thing, the one knock on Paul at this point in time, the constant talk of the friendship here, which I don't believe that Paul is aware that many Big Brother viewers do not care for the term the friendship. Is it possible, Taryn, that Paul could be a plant sent into the house by Cappy, Yvette, and Maggie, and Bo to go and restore the good name of the friendship?
Undercover friendship member, yeah. And if you think that it's
11:30, lights out, bitches.
If you think it's annoying watching hearing him say friendship on the show, you should not watch him on the feeds too often, because it is definitely a thing that he enjoys doing quite a bit.
Yes, he's bringing it back. He's the one person that can bring balance to the friendship.
It's very much his thing, and it's very hilarious. Like, really, somebody like Zakiya should be like, hey, listen, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah.
Friendship doesn't have the best connotation in Big Brother.
Yeah. Just an end. Stop with the friendship. All right, Taryn, is that the hashtag undercover friendship?
Yeah, sure.
Or undercover mateship?
Oh, there we go.
What do you prefer?
I like mateship.
All right. There you go.
Especially like gibberishy.
All right, there you go. For the record, I would have voted for Glenn Diagram on the last happy hour.
I loved Glenn Diagram.
Yeah. All right.
Gave it to us anyway. They're good about that.
Yeah.
They know the good one.
Okay. All right. All that being said, great job tonight by Taryn. We're going to have our next live show coming up on Thursday after the eviction, and a lot to do as we get ready for what should be a jam-packed week in the Big Brother house. Also, very excited tonight if you're a fan of the Mr. Robot, not Mrs. Robot like Bronte, but Taryn, do you watch the Mr. Robot?
I do.
Yeah. It's going to be back on USA. Look for Josh Wigler and Antonio Mazzaro on with the post show recap coming out, I think, sometime later on tomorrow. Check that out on postshowrecaps.com. And I myself will even be doing some Mr. Robot broadcasting this season over somewhere outside of the RHAP networks. I'm going to be hosting a Mr. Robot after show for Screen Junkies on Thursday afternoons. And if you have Screen Junkies Plus, you can check that out live 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on Thursdays as well. And then I'll get back here for our live shows on Thursday night for Big Brother. So very excited to kick off Mr. Robot season 2.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Robot is the person that people tell me I look alike the more than anyone else. And I'm actually wearing the hoodie that people tell me I look like Mr. Robot in.
Yes.
Very, very personal connection to Mr. Robot.
Yes, yes. It's a great show if people haven't checked that out. Very fun to watch. And Josh and Antonio really killing it on the post-show recap on postshowrecaps.com. All right. Love to hear what you guys have to say in the comments. If you haven't checked out our interview with Vanessa, I think it's a must listen. Really, really good. It's only about like 40, 45 minutes long. So it's a real easy listen if you are out of stuff to listen to before Thursday's show. Even after that, I think it's probably still has some value there. So check that out. And then Taryn, I will talk to you again back on Sunday night.
Very excited. And I'm excited for the return of Brent tomorrow.
Yes. Okay. He'll be back. I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if he was going to be home or not for Thursday night.
I think he is.
Okay. Good. I wasn't sure. I didn't have the confirmed information. All right. So good stuff, and hopefully plenty of good stuff on the live feeds going on tonight. Take care, everybody.